Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. And before I go any further, Jill, I am going to do a sound check because if we're learning anything, we're learning not to take anything for granted.
You sound a very good sign.
Oh, good. So Jill's here to speak with us this afternoon or this evening, depending on where you are, to talk about her experience of participating in the first of a series of workshops that we're offering on Saturdays to support all of us in these really challenging and unusual brand new times. So thanks for being with us, Jill.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So, yeah, we started off with a workshop on Saturday, as I say, the first in the series. And we thought it would be fun to have someone on just to talk about your experience of that and how you feel like it's assisted you to practice in this time.
Oh, boy, do I have a lot to say about that.
Great.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think with what's going on in the world, it feels like it's put me in a bit of an unexplored state of being. And so how I am now is not how I usually am. And I have a lot of energy, it feels like, all the time. It's just, you know, I remember maybe being like this one other time in my life. And so,
Jill, if I interrupt you there and just reflect one thing back, you won't forget where you're going, will you?
Nope, I won't.
How I am now is not how I usually am. That is huge. I mean, that is just kind of the poster process sentence for this time, isn't it? And I think it's why we're just hearing over and over how the opportunity and the challenge in it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you underlined that, because even to recognize that, I think, feels extraordinary.
It does. Absolutely.
And that I right now, for whatever reason, I have an awareness that I'm just really high energy. And it's coming, you know, from all, you know, there's a lot of brain activity, a lot of thinking activity, and there's not a lot of physical activity.
A balance.
The ratio is out of balance, exactly. I can put it into about, you know, there's lots of things that I could do with that, but.
Sure.
That's why I just love the title, you know, it was something, and I just love the title of the workshop so much, Who's Here? Who am I home with? Better. It just really made me laugh when I read that, because that's kind of the eternal question.
Completely. Absolutely. Always. Right? Always. It's just and Sherry keeps saying this over and over, reminding all of us that it's always, always true. Everything we're all saying in spades over and over in this last so far week, or however far we're into this, has always been true, but it's just all way, way, way more on the surface and way more obvious.
Yeah, and it's a big bamboozle to think that it has something to do with that the solution or the process that I need to find the solution in is out there somewhere. You know, it's in another piece of news, it's in another, you know, person's view, it's in something else, when actually what supports me the most is just, you know, finding out who am I home with and how can I support them. And what was so powerful about that workshop for me, and this word came up a few times, and it was just getting mirrored. And really being assisted in the workshop to see who's here. And to start to ask some questions about, how can I be of service? How can I help?
You know, and the thing I feel like that you're really underlining, Jill, that was a big theme of what we were looking at, is not assuming anything's wrong, not assuming that we're doing a bad job, not assuming that anything that's going on with me shouldn't be going on with me, but instead just starting where we are. And with, like, who am I at home with? Get a good look at that, a good strong look. And that allows me to then practice with, okay, and who do I want to be at home with? Or we could say, how do I want to be?
Yeah, that's just perfect. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons I just love this practice so much is, you know, be with who's here, and that person is, even though the circumstances outside might still be the way they are, it changes, you know, sometimes it seems like the person is okay with them, sometimes they're not. I mean, I've had some, you know, bananas days, and today wasn't one of them, so it's like, you know, thank goodness for that, you know, I get to, you know, with this high energy time that I'm in, I get to sort of see, you know, all of the ways that, that, you know, conditioning tries to bamboozle me and how I can look to, you know, being in a different process.
Yes, exactly. So I can see, you know, for example, you started us out with, I can see, wow, there's a lot of energy. And as you say, even be able to see that, because I project for most conditioned humans, before we see that, we're off to dissipating it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's whatever it is that we use to dissipate energy. But to be able to see, ooh, there's a lot of energy here. Okay, so let me just look, just see what's going on here. And then I begin to have some ways that I can steward that energy that actually can assist me instead of kind of keep me trapped in a cycle I don't want to be trapped in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just funny. I mean, I'm in Philadelphia. I'm sort of on my own retreat here. And so, you know, there's not a lot of room for, deluding myself into what's happening, you know, it's pretty clear. It's not, you know, because I'm not out in society, it doesn't, you know, whatever, all of the ways that I seem to do it, or, you know, if I did do it, it was in little ways, and now it's sort of bigger ways, and, you know, it just, everything seems magnified, thank goodness, and so then I, you know, it's really giving me the opportunity to just work with it, and this practice is so supportive in that way. It's basically like you have said, and I think you start out saying, you know, we work with where we're at, and we work with what's happening now, and that there's nothing wrong, and, you know, we don't need to be in a certain place in order to start. We just start where we are.
Yep. The wherever we are, that is the starting place that's been given to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to the person. I mean, it's what you said. You know, okay, I could listen to a bunch of quote experts and I could find out what that person's saying and I could find out what this person's saying, but I love that connection you made. They're not home with me, right? I'm home with this person, right? And this is my only direct access to life is right here, this experience, through all of this that we call, in your case, Jill, in my case, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that was so beautifully said, it's the only access I have to experience life, and the clearer and clearer I can get on what that is, it just feels like makes life more exciting.
It does, and you know, the other piece I really appreciate about what you're saying, you know, I have some days where it's bananas, you know, I'm just bananas, and other days where I'm not, and so to realize, you know, I've talked to so many folks in Sangha where it's hard, you know, it is so challenging on so many levels. And so I feel like that's what these Saturdays hopefully can be. Mm-hmm. It is a giant opportunity, which isn't the same as, wow, I love it. It's so great. Every minute of it is fabulous. And because otherwise we run the risk of sort of ego slipping in there with a standard of like, why aren't you like seeing all this stuff and having the best time? It's so great, you know, all of that. Or the opposite. How could you be so grateful and enjoying yourself so much when so many people are suffering?
Yeah.
And so there's going to be so much for us to see. And boy, are we going to need each other to help navigate all of it. So I feel like adding these Saturday workshops in is such a support for that.
Well, I was just going to think going in that direction too, is that hearing Sangha on the call was just, that was transforming for me. And, you know, it just you know, I just could see myself in what everyone had said. And yeah. And it does that magical thing where it's just that connection somehow, you know, just moves me along the path, and it lessens my suffering, frankly.
Yes.
It's just such an extraordinary experience. It's a great way to be with Sangha. It's a great way to, you know, get to be with Jill.
Yes. Oh, perfect. That's so true. But in being with Sangha, that's another portal, isn't it? There's a way in which that really is me coming home to this person that I am.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all was there. And it was such a treat, Jen, for you to lead it. It's always a great pleasure. So thank you, Deepa Show, for that.
Oh, it's so much fun, isn't it? I mean, it just is all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was fun in there, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jill, we're at the top of the hour already. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we hand it over to Michael and Sherry?
No, but I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, me too. Which is this coming Saturday.
Ooh,
so
fabulous.
I can't remember the exact title. It's very beautiful. Something, I think, Finding Joy at Home. I think it's going to be around, well, I won't give it away, but it's going to be lovely. And Notice About It is going out soon. They're working on all of that. And I think this week it's going to be 10 to 12:30 Pacific time. And again, it's just freely offered through practice as a way for all of us to come together and be supported in this time. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And speaking of that, Jill, thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing your experience.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take good care.
You too. Take care. Good night.
And Michael, at this point, I'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jill. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Well, that's the first miracle of tonight. Well, if you don't count good news.
Right. Yeah. When both Jen and Jill came on,
yes.
And their voice, you could hear them. There wasn't
yes.
any. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe it's a timing thing. This is everybody's gone home now, and they don't want to be doing this, and so we can. It creates a little more space. I don't know. I don't know what happens at 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. It's
yes.
Bananas.
Bananas. Yes. Yes. Well, it's a big relief to me that it's working as of right now.
Yes. Yes.
And grateful to have you and
right.
everybody
right.
here.
Right. Right.
And
so, yes. As of right now, let's not get carried away with ourselves, right? Just right now.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. And I'll echo what Jen and Jill were saying in the at-home workshops, which was fabulous last weekend, and I participated, and I look forward
mm-hmm.
to the next one, and I'm grateful
mm-hmm.
for it. Practice is always there in my life, and now so even more. So it's a
mm-hmm.
bigger blessing, and it's always a huge blessing. So that's fabulous.
Yes. That's such a good point, because a lot of us have a lot of practice in our lives, just ordinarily, and now that everything is so completely different, if we had the same amount, it wouldn't seem like as much.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So having these extra supports is really it's really great. And as Jill and Jen were talking, it's the being together. It's hearing one another's voices and just knowing that we are in fact all together. It's huge. It almost doesn't matter what we do.
Yes, yes. Yes, for me it's very reassuring and very
mm-hmm.
grounding to hear you and to hear
mm-hmm.
Sangha and people I know, new people and people I've heard for years, all
mm-hmm.
practicing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I think about you saying, you know, every moment is new and we don't have any control. And, you know, in normal times, conditioned mind is sort of, yeah. And then, as you say, every moment is new. And this one is really, really new. So.
And we have no idea. And all we can do is practice right here, right now. Yeah. I confess, I do. Now, I don't lose sight of all of the people who are going through horrible circumstances. I'm not denying that, and I don't wish to diminish it. And I do really appreciate the opportunity this is for us to get that all of that stuff, as you say, that, you know, ego kind of rolls its eyes, and, oh, let's hear that one more time. and suddenly, it really is clear that those are not just old platitudes. Those are true statements.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, I think, be a great comfort. Because, you know, there have been times when I remember talking with people the last time the economy tanked. And a lot of people were listening to ego voices of, well, you should have known, you should have done this, you should have done that, you should have. And of course, you couldn't because nobody knew. And yet, those voices could still be believable, right? But in this one, it's undeniable. Nobody knew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. And I have announcements here.
All right.
Taking care of our bodies and minds seems more crucial than ever while we ride out the current crisis. The new at-home gentle yoga series, especially designed for Sangha, provides support in cultivating and or strengthening a regular practice of stewarding the body. The yoga sessions, which are ongoing, incorporate themes from the year-long retreat and other elements of awareness practice.
Isn't that good? Just for us.
Just
if
for
people
us.
Aren't using language that's unfamiliar to us, or we think we have to translate anything, right? She's doing it all just for us.
Yes, yes. There is no place like home if ego is not a house guest. Join Sangha for an at-home workshop called Finding Joy at Home this Saturday, March 28th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time. The workshop is free, but registration is required. Registration is open now, and please register by 12 noon Pacific Time on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
In stressful times, we can turn to practice for support. And one of the most compassionate tools we have is recording and listening. A new 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. The new class is on Wednesdays, beginning April 8th. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our longest-lived and most popular programs for a reason. In this year of exploring communication, there is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, requiring participants to show up for themselves and another person every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts April 15, and the deadline to register is April 1st.
And this is the first time that I can remember that program doesn't start on tax day. Because tax day is not on April 15th any longer.
Yes.
Isn't that a relief?
That's a relief, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for our new Keeping Commitments Buddy Program starting April 15th. Participants will be paired with a partner for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right, huh?
All right, and a few reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let me try this one more time. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, Chris. How you doing?
Hello, Sherry. I'm good. I'm a Washington State just shut down, or was on the verge of shutting down, but the mail delivery is still happening, so I'm employed, which is a good thing.
Yeah, Chris, you sound a little far away. I know you're in Seattle, but can you get a little closer to whatever your device is?
Yes. Is that any better?
That perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, I'll be quick anyway and just say what I have to say, and then because I'm still working today, and so I'm just going to say something
okay.
And then listen to your response. I'm doing the year-long email class talking about beginnings, and what I'm seeing with that is just the underlying, I don't want to say belief, but the underlying message I get is I'm just not good enough. I'm basically the wrong person. And if I want to begin, let's say, a house project to repair something, I'll inevitably run into some kind of snafu, and then I'll get hit with, well, you know, I don't have the skills of this person that I know or that person that I know in carpentry or electrician stuff. So if I did, wouldn't that be great? But I don't, so am I good enough? And then as it applies to something that I'm interested in, like playing music, what gets pointed out is, well, I don't have this skill set, and I don't have that skill set. So really, I'm just not good enough. And that's sort of the underlying thing I get.
Mm-hmm. Chris, may I offer something to begin in this time of beginnings? How about beginning...
Yeah.
Not listening to that and not believing it any longer.
That would be good.
That could sound like an ending, but the way you're describing it, it sounds like it would actually be a beginning for you, because all this time, those voices, and I bet those aren't the only kinds of places, right, where you're going to do, you want to do something. And then it tells you you're the wrong person and there really is something wrong with you. I bet you hear that message in other places. And so how about beginning to take the power away from that? Beginning to see it for what it is. Really see it. Now, this is one of those things like we were just talking about a few minutes ago, right? We all know we have no control. We all know we can't know what's going to happen. And then we live exactly as if we don't know that. So you know those are the voices of self-hatred. You know there's no truth in it. And yet you live as if it's true.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
And it's good to have that pointed out.
Yeah. I'm going to encourage you to begin to take the power away from that message. It's bogus. It's a lie. It's just there to cause you to suffer. It's never done anything for you. It hasn't helped you play better music. Hasn't made you a better carpenter. Hasn't made you a better electrician. Hasn't done anything for you. So how about you begin the process of divorcing that? File your papers.
That just feels remarkable to contemplate. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then, Chris, after you contemplate it, started, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good. Good. All right. Back to work with you. I'm glad that they're telling us there's very little danger of contracting the virus through the mail. So that...
Yes, I've heard that. Uh-huh.
I'm happy about that. So...
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Great to hear from you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Thanks. Yeah.
Talk about the front lines, huh? Delivering mail in Seattle.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
Hi, Sherry. It's Ren from South Florida.
Hello, Ren.
Hello. Well, first of all, I have to call conditioning out and tell it that I am telling you right here and now, I got bamboozled out of Saturday, and I'm still calling.
Yeah.
I'm still on the open air, and I still was in the call this morning, and I'm still practicing, and it's all okay.
It's all okay. What, you want to say what happened?
I didn't feel well, and it's so funny what Jen and Jill were talking about, because today was the first day I did not take a nap. And I had so much energy, I cleaned, and I think I've been falling for that I'm tired thing, and I wasn't really tired. I needed to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe ego was tired of not having certain controls over your life.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share a little bit about the call... this morning, I don't know if, from your perspective, maybe you already know this, but I think it's worth sharing anyway. So for those of us in the audience, there's like a little chat, and I never knew it, but somebody posted after maybe 5 minutes, no sound, and then somebody else said, me either. So then I said, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to say, you know, me either, whatever. But then... somebody came in, and it felt like an angel or the mentor, and they said, let's just practice together until the sound comes back. And it was such a lovely experience that I did not think of that myself. And then someone else wrote, what a blessing to be practicing breathing with you guys. And I thought, you know, this would be a really good show if the sound never came back, or if it did come back, hooray. But it was so much what I needed and so much like kind of what I'm trying to focus on for the new beginnings, which is, as a practitioner, be present when you're being present. Really be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which kind of tied together with the other thing that happened. So it was just kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course my wish about the whole thing is that people would just take it as an opportunity to meditate.
And that's exactly what happened. But
mm-hmm.
it was something about Sangha that gave me the little nudge, because I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure I would have seen it if I wasn't on the call with other people. I might have
mm-hmm.
just, oh, well, this is, you know, what I can do something else.
It's a waste of time.
Oh,
I could get on with cleaning. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Ren,
it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to underline that, because, of course, with awareness practice, you know, ego is going to say, well, it's the year-long retreat, and so what happens in the year-long retreat is that we get an assignment, and we do the assignment, and then we call in, and we listen to people talk about it. And sometimes, you know, we're the one who talks about it and other people talk about it. And that's what's going on. But what's really going on in awareness practice is for
is awareness.
Us to practice. For us to practice being aware of what's going on with us all the time.
Yes, and I also don't want to minimalize what people are going through, but this whole thing right now that's going on with the virus, seems like my best opportunity to wake up in a while. It really does.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah. Stakes are high. And we, you know, whatever we want to say about it, we don't tend to pay attention until the stakes are really high. And so here we are. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ren.
Gosho.
Gosho to you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, Sherry. Thank you, Ren. And let me just find where I am here in the queue, Sherry. Just give me a second here.
I'm meditating, Michael.
That's good.
You take your time.
That's good. Yeah. let's see. We have a new interface here. Okay, where is Ren? Ren, if you could mute yourself until I find you, that would be great. And Sherry, I'm going to find the next caller here.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just, it's a struggle here with this new interface, Sherry. Okay, here we go. Next caller,
Hi.
You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
Hello. I am so happy to be here. Let's see. The phrase, the practice principle that keeps coming up for me is there is no change in consciousness without a change in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be so many people, myself and others, changing behaviors right now. And somehow, you know, maybe like you were talking with the last call about, you know, when the stakes are really high, we're really paying attention. But somehow, grace, circumstances, I'm finding it much easier to change behaviors. Does that make sense?
But what I would really appreciate, Ramita, just because I can picture there would be people out there kind of scratching their head, because that's a bit of an esoteric little saying. You know, we're kind of used to it at this point. But what do you mean by that? Can you describe what you've seen that had you use that phrase to describe it?
Well, we're isolating ourselves from contact with other people because being in touch with people causes illness. And so having to pay more attention to that, you know, I'm washing my hands, I'm being aware of being in close proximity with others, I'm spending more time at home. These are behaviors that change. And at the same time, it seems to be increasing my awareness of how interconnected we are. And
so, if I may,
yes.
So previously, you could have said, oh, yes, we live in an interconnected reality, right? Because that's one of those things that we know. So, so there's that. We could say that there's consciousness of that, right? But if we don't do anything that's any different, then the chances of losing that awareness are really great.
Yes, it's right? Like, oh, that's an insight I had, and it becomes an intellectual piece of knowledge and strengthens ego.
And you go right on with the same behaviors.
Yes.
Okay, all right. But something is different this time.
It sure feels that way. I'm some of my favorite addictions have just fallen away. I have more energy, like I've heard people talk about tonight. I'm eating less food, less addictive food. I guess, it falls under the addictions are falling away. And there's less resistance to practice, so there's more time, it's like the scales are tipping in favor of I want to be present. I don't want to indulge suffering.
Yeah. So we can't have a change in consciousness without changing behavior, right? So you have realized these things, and now what you've seen is that you want to stick with the behaviors that reinforce that clarity, that
yes.
support that awareness.
Yes. And I wonder, you know, projection, I wonder, you know, people all over the planet are changing behaviors, and consciousness
yes.
is changing. I think there's the whole spectrum from incredible paranoia to enlightenment, for lack of a better word, you know, just awareness of
mm-hmm.
the present moment and how we are all, there is no other. We are one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what that awareness brings up in people. So as you say, taking more responsibility for ourselves, right? So you want to do the social distancing and washing your hands more. And, you know, if you do have to cough or sneeze, it's into your elbow and all of those kinds of things. And it's also, we're hearing so much about a growing, not in all circles, certainly, but a growing awareness of the plight of other people, increased desire to participate in ways that could be helpful to others, right? So those two are the behavior changes, right, that support that greater clarity, the expanded awareness.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it all comes back to incredible gratitude for the guide, the Sangha, this practice, and all of our virtual abilities to connect. So deeply grateful for this.
Isn't it wonderful?
Not the least of which is open air, which is working tonight.
Right, exactly. And that's what like with the morning show. So, oh gosh, the struggle with that, and we have it. So kind of what was pointed out a little bit ago. Even if it's a struggle, we're struggling together, right? And so in that, we still realize the interconnectedness, that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have a guide who gives us fervorinos when we need him. Thank you, Sherry.
Gets a little nag here and there, huh?
I love it. Good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ramita. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Great to hear from Sangha. And I am grateful for this technology, and I'm glad, as you said, that we're all doing it together, whether it's working or it's not working.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes.
Good and lessons for all of life, right?
Yes.
Everybody's doing the best they can. I bet I say that 150 times a day. You know, we're all, and again, ego would say, really? Let me give you a list of the people who are not doing the best that they can. Yeah, they are. It might not be my version of the best that a person can do, but that doesn't mean they're not doing the best that they can do.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
So there we are. And that's true whether we're in a pandemic and the climate is closing down around us, as is the economy, and we're still doing the best that we can do.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And Sherry, we're going to do something radical here and try to listen to an ad. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And hopefully talk to you again later today.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, are you there?
Ooh, there you are.
Sorry about that. I was
muted.
It was
good.
Attention going from here to there to find the right buttons and all that. Okay, and Sherry, we have our next caller.
All right.
Except the thing just jumped on me. We did have our next caller. Okay, let's try that again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Kate in Australia.
Hi, Kate.
Well, hello, Kate.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm happy to have you on and connect
Whoops.
With Sangha. Right
Kate,
now.
I'm yeah? having trouble hearing you. Can you get louder?
Yeah. Is that better?
Way better. Perfect.
Great.
Now tell me how you're doing.
yeah, I was just saying I'm happy to be on and connected with Sangha right now and have the opportunity to be home and in a space when I can call in for the show and yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Gosh, yeah. Because you folks well, so many places in the world, but you folks have really yeah, you've got a plateful, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like everywhere, you know, just figuring it out. It changes every day. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so school is closed. You're home? Or it's just the time of day?
Well, our university is still open, actually, but in the process of closing down. So I think by tomorrow or the next day, but still certain things will be open. So I'm able to work from home, but a lot of people are still going into the university. Yeah, it's a little, it's difficult being connected to two places. I feel much more anxious because of all of my family and friends in the United States and how we're a little bit, a couple weeks behind here in Australia, and people are like, we're not there yet. And I'm like, we need to just shut down. But
yeah.
being split
yeah.
between the
it really is a practice perspective, isn't it? The inability, it would seem, the inability to apply clarity. You know,
yeah.
we see this going around the world. We see what people are doing. We see what works. We see what doesn't work. And the choices continue to be made for what doesn't work. And, you know, it can be kind of upsetting or alarming until we realize, but wait a minute, that's how we operate all the time. You know, all kinds of things. We've had all kinds of information forever. I mean, however long our life is forever, of course. We've known these things, but we haven't done anything about it. We haven't applied the knowledge. We haven't taken advantage of the clarity. And personally, People will do that over and over and over, suffer from the same thing, survive it, go right back, make the same. It's what Ramita was saying. You can't have a change of consciousness without a change of behavior. And we will make the same choices over and over and over and over again. And the only difference with this is so many people are dying.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah, so many people are dying, and there's so, I mean, there's a, what's the word when it, like, reaches a certain tipping point of, mm-hmm. of like, how you can't ignore, like, how do you, and for me, the biggest struggle is people who normally I would be so aligned with, and I look to for, say, you know, moral compass or socially conscious kind of in the end, just really dismissing, I guess from my perspective, being really dismissive of of trying to make some of these changes. And it's really difficult to understand if it's, well, am I being over the top? Am I being some kind of extremist, like stressed out? Or are they being, I mean, right, this is ego having this conversation. I can see it as I'm saying it out loud. Are they being ignorant, or am I being extreme and stuck in the middle, just feeling just like this kind of crazy person of how could you not, like, how could you not be taking this more seriously? And you're mm-hmm. someone who I would look to for guidance in, you know, I would mm-hmm. follow kind of your guidance in a ethical conundrum, let's say, or social situation kind of thing. Normally, so it's a very like, yeah, I guess
the person can kind of peel off on their own, right?
Yeah, yeah, and in that space of like,
yeah,
you can't trust what the government is saying based on what we've seen in other, like, in what's happened in other places. Like, we need to keep things open for the good of the health of the nation and the country. And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But I don't. I'm not a public health expert. I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. just stuck in that place of, I don't know, and this is really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kate, it sounds to me like you do know for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, but again, like, I can make personal decisions for myself, and then my partner that I live with makes different decisions. And it feels really jarring and shocking and yeah, it does. I guess you can only make decisions for yourself and at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But also wanting to remain open, I guess, in that way of like, I'm not an expert. I'm not here to tell you what to do or not to do. And if what I'm saying, I think, to do is different than what official, like, guidance coming from official, quote unquote, official channels is, and you're following that, and I'm thinking something different. It's been the last week has had a lot of those kinds of challenges of, this, am I right? Are you right? Well, I don't really care who's right. Like, I just want to know what to do.
Well, and it gets really dicey, doesn't it? Because mm-hmm. so you live with somebody who, sounds like, thinks differently than you do, will make different choices, different decisions, but it could be your life.
Yeah.
And so at what point do we say, okay, because it, if we acknowledge that that's the case, then at what point do you bring conscious awareness to taking responsibility? Because in ego's world, here's the way it would go. Okay, so you live with somebody who, it sounds like, is less cautious than you are. Would that be a fair way to frame it?
More, let's just do exactly what we're told to do at that level.
Oh, and so at this level, it's don't social distance, and we don't need to worry about all of that. So that's what we should go along with.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas you are in the club that says, what I've seen with the rest of the world is what really works is to stay away from people, and that's the best chances of not spreading this.
We need to do a lot more than what we're doing right now.
Yes. Well, but you can't really affect any of that, right? Except for you. So in the world of ego, the way it would go is you would do it this way, but you're not going to take a stand for that because you live together. So you'd have to, one of you is going to have to move out, right? Or you're going to have to, right, wear protective gear around the house, right? And so you make a decision about, well, okay, I'm not ready to move out, and so I'll just go along with it. But then can you get in touch with the level of emotion that would accompany you being right and him being wrong?
Well, and that's where it comes down to, where I just don't care. I'll be wrong. I would rather be wrong, but I'm still not willing to give up what I think are the appropriate measures to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But it does turn into that. You're exactly right. It does turn into who's right and who's wrong.
Well, and of course, my point is, if it turns out that you're right and he's wrong, you're going to hate him. Whereas what we could do is acknowledge, you know what? I was right. He's wrong. But I didn't go with what I knew for myself to be right. That's the point. It's not his fault that I didn't choose me.
Mm.
But what we're conditioned to do, what we would be conditioned to do, is blame him.
Yeah,
so
or blame
me,
the others around us who are...
That's right.
Who are encouraging, blame the government, blame the person
that's
who
right.
invited friends
why
out
didn't
to
they
the
tell
club.
It? Why didn't they tell me? Why didn't they make me stay home?
Right. Which is totally my mindset, is why are they not forcing people to do this? Which today and tomorrow, they are starting to, but...
Mm-hmm. But the point is, of course, you taking responsibility for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, again, it's one of those life lessons that's always available to us, right? It's just that in ego's world, you know, we kid about that. As long as you know who to blame, that's all we need to know. Whose fault is it? Okay, we're all good, right? And so, Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the other ego story I think that gets me is I need to take responsibility for other people's lives. There's a couple people connected to me that are vulnerable, and so I need to make sure they are doing the things they need to do to...
Yep.
And it's this is really important. You know, ego is this is... you making sure they're okay or understand how severe this could be. And it's as I started this conversation, I'm not a public health expert. That's actually not my job.
Well, and it wouldn't matter if you were the public health expert. You know, it really wouldn't matter. It is still not our job to make other people do what we think they should do.
Yeah.
It's our job to take responsibility for ourselves. That's our job. Okay. Well, I'll be sending good energy, strength, clarity for you folks, because you're part of the world. I don't know. It just seems... you've been hit harder than people need to be hit. So
a couple disasters in a row. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kate. Take good care.
Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And Sherry, I appreciate the level, for lack of a better word, the level of discourse of looking that I heard in that conversation and how important that is.
Yeah, all the time. It's another one of those. It's just now, it's so undeniable. You know, I can't control your behavior. And not doing what is so for me, whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter, right? I have to go with my own experience, and I will find out through that process, if I'm paying attention, I will see a great deal. This is my workshop. So for me not to take responsibility for myself, knowing that I can always blame you down the road, it doesn't serve us, right? Never does, but it's very popular.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, this is Justin from Bear Valley calling.
Good grief!
Hey, Justin.
This is great. I see. I have more contact with you than I did when we were living right down the road from one another.
That is so well said. I guess it is my lucky day. Twice in one day, right?
Yeah, mine too. What's going on now? Now that we've had all these hours to live.
I know, right? All 10 hours. Anyways, yeah. I had a question for you, and I was asking if you could speak to the difference in recording and listening between recording a message of self-hate and doing like a right-handed recording where we're getting out what the voices are saying to us.
Okay. So the two-handed, that's a really important question, and thank you for that. That's hugely significant. So with the two-handed recording, what you're doing is letting an aspect of the personality talk about what's going on with him. That is very different from self-hate, grabbing the recorder and unloading a bunch of viciousness.
Yes. Okay, so at this juncture, if I can ask or say, so if it was a message of self-hate, we would be completely identified with that, with what's coming out? Is that a way to put
very,
it?
Very, very, very likely.
Okay.
Yeah, very likely. And you can use some of the clues that we always talk about. If it's somebody who is upset about something, he's angry, I mean, it can sound pretty hateful if somebody's really angry. But the difference is, say he's really angry about something. He's angry about something. He's not spewing a bunch of stuff about what's wrong with you. So if you start hearing voices talk about you, pointing the finger at Justin, then you're probably listening to self-hate. But if it's just somebody who's upset, you know, he could be screaming and yelling and cussing and carrying on, but it's about somebody or something. It's not directed at you.
Right. Okay. I definitely see that difference. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, it is true, but this is a subtlety that I wouldn't worry about too much, but just so you know. Self-hate, often, it'll come at you, and then all of a sudden it'll go after somebody else. And then it'll veer back around and come at you, and then it'll go after somebody else. So it's not like self-hate won't go after another person, because it will. Okay. So if you start feeling like that, if they will not be comforted by the mentor, if they don't want to be helped through it. If they mm-hmm. just want to stay with it, then you can get a sense that it's ego in the form of self-hatred, not in the form of an aspect of the personality who is really having a legitimate experience that he's upset over.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
And but, so mm-hmm. what has to happen for us is that the longer we do this, the clearer we get. Now, after mm-hmm. a while, you will just have listened to yourself in so many different configurations that it'll flag you that, wait a minute, that doesn't sound legit. That sounds like, right? And then at that point, you might hit delete. The only time that I encourage people to put self-hating messages on a recorder is in the form of the voice in my head is saying blah, 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 and that's a lie.
That is what's super really, helpful. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's really true is, and then you say what is so.
Okay, that is so great to see because I feel like I've kind of naturally or I've just done that a bit with the right-handed recording to get more disidentified. Mm-hmm. So the voices in my head are saying blah, 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 knowing that I'm going to come in with the left-handed recording or I'll just say it right there. And I've actually at times where I've started to feel so identified, I've noticed like the verbiage is changing and I'm like, I, dun-da-dun-da-dun. And then at that point, mm-hmm. I have shut off the recorder. I think that's happened like once or twice. But that seems mm-hmm. like it was kind of what you're speaking to.
Yes, yes. And I'll sometimes hear from people who say, you know, I do the two-handed recording and it's just like I start spiraling down. You know, I listen uh-huh. to it and I feel worse. I listen to it and I feel worse. Well, right. that's one of those places that it's really good to catch on to because that's ego and ego, right? We're back to the ping pong table, right? So ego takes the recorder in the right hand and spews a bunch of stuff, and it's probably at the person, at the human being. Then ego grabs it with the left hand and says a bunch of stuff, and it's going nowhere, right?
Right.
Now, if we can listen to it and we realize that, we have an opening, right? But at that point, what I encourage people to do is get out of that. Just get out of recording, get out of that, and turn to a recording that tells you what is true.
Uh-huh.
And just listen to that until you disidentify.
Yes. Okay. Great. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm looking forward to today's yeah. assignment also with that information because it was bringing up that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have fun. Go happy.
Yeah, go happy. Maybe I'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. And Sherry, we have about 5 minutes left. I'm going to bring on one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Sherry. This is Claire from Mountain View.
Hey, Claire.
Well, hello, Claire. What's going on?
Well, I suppose I just want to piggyback on some of these conversations about this interesting time in which we live. In that, so I work in a profession where they're seen as essential, and part of my job is to go out into the community and, you know, visit with people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed about that was a lot of, initially a lot of inner conflict around what was the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And wishing that, you know, somebody would tell me exactly what to do, you know, to keep me safe, the people that I visit safe, my family safe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came to in the end was surrendering to a place of trust that truly, you know, we're all doing our very best at this time. And if something comes my way, I get the information to go and visit, you know, Mr. Smith at this location, then I go from the place that that's what life is bringing me at this time.
Mhm. Mhm. And Claire, there's no other way you can do what you do. You know, I think about the number of people who are mental health professionals and that sort of mm-hmm. thing, who are now mm-hmm. doing their work remotely with people because mm-hmm. it is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. not possible in what you do?
Well, I am doing much more of my work by phone visits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some circumstances where, you know, it's, you know, the in-person piece is deemed to be really important for the people that I serve. And so, you know, I do appropriate screens about the health of the household that I'm going to and, you know, and the health of my household that I'm coming from. And as best as I can, assess and then see where life takes me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and of course, you know, the point that you're raising is the essential point, right? Is it life bringing me, or is it something else bringing me?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
right, because as we know, ego is just delighted to talk us into anything that's going to result in suffering, and if it's enormous suffering, well, better yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. it's so important for us to have a sense, first of all, a sense of what we're listening to. Is that really, am I really listening to clarity, to center, to life, or am I listening to a voice that has something to do with should and, you know, obligation and duty and all of those sorts of things?
Mm-hmm.
And then the piece of it, I think, that we were just talking about with Kate, that really eyes wide open, that am I actually ready to accept responsibility for all of the consequences of my choices?
Am I ready to accept responsibility for the consequences of my choices?
Yeah.
That then I still go back to, well, and then it still goes back to, you know, what am I listening to? Am I listening to life's calling to do this thing or not?
Yeah. Yes. And that's the thing, right? I'm sure this is totally made up, Claire, but it's in my head as a real story, so I'll tell you, okay? You've probably heard it. But the one where somebody said to Jesus, don't go to that town because there are people waiting there and they want to kill you. And his response was, if it is my Father's wish that I die in that town, then I better hurry on my way.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we're not all Jesus, right?
Mm.
And so just, again, to look at it, because as you say, you have a family. And and so it isn't just the choices you're making. It has a big effect on other people as well. And I'm not saying yay or nay about anything. It's just that we need to have our eyes wide open that what we're doing now, we don't actually know the results of. And
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
am I all right if I go in this direction, am I really saying I'm all right with however this may go?
Yeah.
Which, again, would be intelligent for us to do every day of our lives, pandemic or no.
And yes, thank you for that. And the other piece is that seeing the opportunities at this time to offer support to people in ways that don't involve person-to-person contact.
Mm-hmm.
So in my work, you know, we're now offering a work many more like phone check-ins and group phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
We have you know, some of the nurses that are
FaceTime.
Going out to, and some of the nurses that are now going out to serve coronavirus-infected patients in the community, and all that entails for the for the, yes. the family of us that are like holding the community and working with the community at this time.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. It's yeah, and a real, I don't. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's just a blessing that I've seen a real coming together more in the organization for which for that I work for through this time.
Mhm. Mhm. And again, it would be interesting to know. And I've only heard a little bit about people talking about this, but say, you know, I'm an ER person, or I'm a, you know, I'm a nurse or a doctor or whatever. I'm in a hospital. I'm in a, wherever it is that I am. What about my family?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I can be very enthusiastic about what I do and, that sort of thing. This just happened with somebody, her partner is a first responder, and now she's infected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yep. So, you know, if I sign on to be a first responder, that's one thing, but that doesn't mean my partner signed on for it.
Mm-hmm.
So having those conversations and being really, really clear about mm-hmm. the choices that we're, and all of this, Claire, is simply in pursuit of not letting the voices kill us down the road when something happens that, and we start hearing that, well, you should have known, right?
Yeah,
you could have known this was going to happen. This is your fault.
Yes, 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 yes. It's a real call for having conscious communication with those that we love about the choices that we make, and then, you know, moving forward with that and not looking back and saying, if only.
That's exactly it. Again, let's underline, not just now, every day of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sherry. Please go well and be well.
All right. Thank you, Claire. You too. You too. Take good care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Claire, and thank you, Sherry, and thank you to
Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks to all of our callers and all of our listeners and Start Meeting and all of our tech support internally.
Yeah.
And
everybody who is doing everything that they're doing to get us all through this.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
Sherry.
Sir.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.